Hello and welcome to Pinot and Perfume. I am your host, Sarah Chacon, and it's a cold and wet day today in Florida. It's very strange. I feel like this weather came out of nowhere because we've been having really good spring weather, like quintessential bright, sunny, clear, and no, like low humidity, 70s, 80s, you know, just like, oh, chef's kiss, perfect. And for whatever reason, Friday, it got windy and then it got a little rainy. And now it's just overcast and cold and wet, which I kind of like. Not going to lie. I like an overcast day. I like a cozy cold day. It's kind of fun. It's an excuse to, you know, get some last wear out of the few sweaters and leggings and long sleeve shirts that I own. So I'm not complaining. It's just very strange because it's like a whole 180 degrees turn. But anyway, that's it. Just talking about the weather. So apparently gaucho pants are back in season or back in fashion. And does anybody else have like siblings or maybe parents or other family members who like explain past fashion trends, even though you were there and fully present? My sister's like that. And she recently texted me and said that she bought some gaucho pants from Walmart because they're back in style. Then she sends me a picture of herself in 10th grade wearing gaucho pants. And she's like, "This is me from 2004. I was a sophomore and this is how the girls styled the gaucho pants." And I'm like, "Girl, I remember 2004, 2005. Like, I remember the gaucho pants trend. I was part of that trend. I was working at Ann Taylor Loft, and I bought a few pairs of gaucho pants using my employee discount. It's like, I remember you wearing that exact outfit. You don't have to explain how the gaucho pant trends work. Like, I remember it crystal clear." It's just interesting because she does that. And I don't even know why, because it's not like it was like, you know, when I was in high school and she was even, I think she was in, when I was in high school, she was in middle school. So like, we're like 4.5, 5 years apart. So a lot of the trends she should remember too. It's not like I have to explain, "Yo, this was back when, you know, I was a middle school, I was in seventh grade and blah, blah, blah." Like, she knows. So I just thought it was like super funny. Like, "Girl, you don't have to explain to me the gaucho trend. I recall the gaucho pant trend because I had two pairs. I had a black pair and I had a brown pair. And the brown pair I was styling. I remember it was a whole new ensemble and I had just bought it. And I was in the process of driving to my hometown for one of my good friends' weddings. And I had on my brown gauchos, a white tank top. I had on like cute little, I think it was like a brown and like a gold satin headband, like living my best life, brown flip-flops, you know, living my best Florida life. And I ended up getting into a car accident that completely totaled my car. It flipped like a couple times and then it landed upside down with me in it. Luckily, I didn't get anything other than like some scratches and a couple bruises, thank God. But when the paramedics came, they were like, "Yeah, you looked fine," but we didn't know. They had to see if I had like any internal injuries or maybe my clothes were covering up some like hidden injuries that were under my clothes. So they had to cut off my brand new outfit. And I know, like, honestly, that's what they needed to do. Like, I would rather have them done that and, you know, make sure that I didn't have any like crazy gashes. But when I tell you, through the shock, even in shock, because I was in hella shock, I was still like, "God damn, they just ruined my new outfit." And I'm not salty, but I am kind of salty. Like, I still think about that and I still cringe because it was like, I think it was like my first time wearing it, like after buying it. Like, it was hot off the presses, brand new, and just like a waste of money. I might as well just take that money and like set it on fire. I was so just disappointed. But I get why they did it. Obviously, they were doing their jobs, but part of me was just like, "Oh, why?" And I think I ended up rebuying that same pair of like brown gauchos, but I waited till they were on sale. So that's my gaucho pants story. I remember the trend. The pair that my sister bought is actually super cute. She paired it with looks like a black bodysuit. And hers, the pair that she bought, looks like they could easily be like work clothes. Like they're still the gaucho style, but they're more straight leg. They don't flare out. They're more straight legged and like wide legged. And I mean, hers look cute. Hers look like super office. Like if you had like an office casual, like if I were to go back, excuse me, if my office were to open anytime soon and I were to go back and work in the office, it would be, that would be an outfit that I would consider wearing because it was super cute. So I have not yet been to Target or Walmart to see what kind of gaucho pants they have. Very interested because I don't buy in certain trends. I do like the whole, if you remember the first time around, you're too old to do it again. Certain ones I do. Fanny packs, you will never catch me dead in a fanny pack. No, if I'm going to do, I prefer a wristlet. I prefer a small crossbody bag. The convenience of a fanny pack is not so much that I'm risk looking like a dum-dum. And Gen Z's trying to make them all, you know, looking super cute and have like Gucci and Chanel. Like, no, it looks stupid no matter the brand, how you're wearing it. You can't style it to where it looks good. I'm sorry. That's my hill that I'm going to die on. Fanny packs look stupid. Platform shoes. I'm 37 years old. You're not going to catch me in platform shoes. They were really popular again in like the early 2000s. I feel like the 70s, like the early 2000s, like threw their own twist on the 70s because you had the bell bottoms, you had the platform shoes. You had like the halter tops that look kind of handkerchiefy, which I think are also kind of 70s inspired. Anyway, not going to catch me in any of those, especially not platforms. Like I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't get away with platforms. Definitely can't get away with halter tops now. And bell bottoms, I think bell bottoms can still be done just tastefully. It would have to be a certain way. But the gaucho pant trend, I feel would feel comfortable doing because they're super comfortable and we're all living in athleisure wear life right now. And I think these new iterations look very cute. They don't look as flary as the originals. And I think they could definitely be dressed up or down and to be like an actual outfit instead of looking like you gave up on life. So that's my hot take. And with that, let's get into fragrance of the week. All right, this week's scent of the week is Salt Caramel by UK perfumer Shea and Blue. Now, a few disclaimers before I get into the review. One, I am basing this review off of a sample I got from Lucky Scent, which is a dapper vial and not a spray vial, in case that matters to you. And two, my clumsy ass spilt half of the sample, so instead of getting at least two good wears, I got one good wear. So that is what I'm basing my review off of, but I still think it was enough that I can kind of make an informed decision and at least let you guys know what I experienced and whether it's on my fragrance wish list or not. So just a little bit about Shea and Blue. As I mentioned, they're from the UK and they're all about like natural and synthetic ingredients where it makes sense. And I kind of like that they have that distinction because I do feel like synthetic ingredients as a whole get panned in favor of natural ingredients. But as they have made the distinction, they use synthetics if getting the actual natural essence is not sustainable. So their example was sandalwood. And I guess sandalwood is vulnerable. So instead of sourcing actual sandalwood, which could harm the environment, they use a synthetic version of it that is safe on skin and smells like the real thing, which I think is very smart. They are vegan, cruelty-free, certified by PETA. They don't have parabens, phthalates, or dyes. They're sustainably sourced and they're packaged with recycled material. And I think they're gluten-free. They're all the things. I'll have the link to their website in the show notes. in case you're interested to browse around their website. So the ingredients or the notes for this, your top notes, you have caramel and sea salt. Your middle notes, you have tonka bean. And your bottom notes, you have bourbon, vanilla, and sandalwood. On me, when I sniffed it, like my first impression and when I wore it, to me, it smells like salted caramel popcorn. There's no notes, no like popcorn notes in this, but the salt and the caramel together is what reminded me of that. Not a bad thing. Unfortunately, I didn't get like the bourbon vanilla or the sandalwood or the tonka bean. I got mainly the caramel and sea salt, but that's why I got the sample, because that's pretty much the only two notes that I cared about, because I love caramel. On me, it was very light, like a very light skin scent, almost kind of like a you but better type of perfume, but you but better and gourmand, if that makes sense. There's no projection. And granted, I did apply this from a dabber vial, so I'm not sure if from a spray atomizer it would give you any sort of projection. On me, it didn't really project. It was very much set close to the skin. And it just kind of made me feel like my natural essence was salt and caramel. Again, not a bad thing. And it didn't last that long. So that's my biggest gripe. I wish it had a little bit more projection. Doesn't have to be a powerhouse, but it doesn't have to be. I wish it was a little bit more than a skin scent as well. And again, I don't know if that was because I went off of the dabber vial. I don't know if it's because of the natural ingredients. It could be a combination of both, but I found it very light. And then after like four, I would say between 4 and 5 hours, you'll smell it any longer. And it's there, but it's very faint. So you would definitely need to reapply if you were to wear it to the office, and then reapply it if you wanted to go out and wear it to dinner or drinks or whatever. Since it's light, I do think that this is office appropriate, even though it's gourmand. If the spray version is as light as what I tried out of the dauber, you're definitely not going to be offending anybody, especially if you have somebody who's sensitive to fragrances. You could totally wear this out and about and be fine. That's my biggest gripe. I just wish that it was a little bit longer lasting and just a little bit more projecting, because it's cool. I mean, it's nice. Like, I liked smelling it like that was my natural essence, but I don't know. Like, if I feel like if I'm going to get a you but better scent, it's going to be something that's fresh or a little clean, you know, or like mildly floral, I'm not going to go to a gourmand for that same effect. That's just me. So the prices. So the Shea and Blue website has prices in pounds. So let me go to prices in dollars. And you know what? I'll just go to Lucky Scent, where I got the samples, because their pricing is the same as buying direct from the retailers. Okay. So a 30 milliliter bottle is going to run you $50, and the 100 milliliter is going to run you $90. So not, you know, pretty on par with some designer fragrances that you get at the mall. Even though I think Shea and Blue are probably considered niche, the price point is comparable to mainstream designer fragrances. This was released in 2014 and it did win some awards. Let's see. So apparently the awards it got was the Perfume Blog Awards and the Best Scent of 2015. And this debuted in 2014. So the next year it won. It is considered unisex, which I can see it. I definitely think a man could pull this off, because it's not so sweet that it would be off-putting for a dude. It doesn't really pull more feminine, and it doesn't pull more masculine. I definitely think that both genders could wear it, and it's light enough to wear. Like I said, it's not going to be overpowering. This one just didn't excite me. Like, I liked it, and when I first tested it out, I was super excited because I was like, oh yeah, salted caramel popcorn, that's great. But after wearing it, I mean, yes, it's nice, but it's a like, but it's not like a love, not like a must have. So I probably will not be getting it anytime soon or at all. But I definitely think it's worth testing, if especially if you love caramel like I do. It is a good, the caramel note is very prominent in this fragrance. My only gripe, like I said, my only gripe with it was that it was just super light and it didn't last that long. Like I said, if I'm going to do a You But Better scent, it's not going to be gourmand. Like, I at least want to smell my gourmands with ease a little bit. You know, they don't have to be beast mode, but they don't have to be like You But Better. So that's my two cents. If you have experience with this scent, let me know what you think. And all in all, it's a beautiful scent. It's just not, it doesn't rev up my engines. You know, like, it's got really good reviews, I think, on Lucky Scent. It's got 4 out of 5 stars on the Shea and Blue website. It's got 4.8 out of 5 stars. So people do love it. It's just not a gourmand for me. And there you have it. Let me know what your experiences has been with this scent. If you like it, if you also thought it was sweet, if you don't care, I want to know. All right. Fragrance in the news. Let's get to it. First article is from the New York Times. And it's actually a very nice tribute to a YouTuber called Brooklyn Fragrance Lover. I'm not sure if you are familiar with him, but he was a prolific fragrance reviewer on YouTube. I didn't know him personally, but I watched a few of his videos. He seemed to really, really love fragrance, owned a shit ton of bottles. It seems like it was a shit ton of bottles. And this article confirms it was like in the thousands. And unfortunately, he passed not that long ago, I feel like. I feel like it was earlier this year. Maybe it was late last year. Let me look. Let's see. Yeah, it was back in February, he passed. So fragrance community, the YouTube fragrance community was really sad at a passing of one of its own. He was pretty well known, and the New York Times just wrote a really nice article about him, his YouTube career, quote unquote. And I use that quote because apparently YouTube was not his full-time job. He was a shoe salesman. He worked at a place called Lester's for 35 years, and he did YouTube on the side. And even when, let me look up his YouTube account, because I feel like he was one of the more well-known channels. And he always had like different perfumers and different representatives from companies. Like, I think he had not Killian Hennessy, but he had someone who worked for By Killian, like the company, to come on his channel and talk about Love Don't Be Shy and a couple of other ones. And so I honestly thought that was his full-time gig, because he's not, like, his channel or one of his vlogs was nominated for a fragrance, International Flavors and Fragrance Award, IFF, maybe, 1 year. Yeah, he's got 69,000 subscribers, and he has 1,197 videos. Apparently, he started his YouTube channel in 2016. And has slowly grown the channel. And as this article points out, he didn't do a lot of like clickbaity articles, like the top 21 sexiest perfumes for men, or like, here's your, you know, tag your perfume tag video. I didn't watch enough of his videos to really know like what types of videos he did, but apparently those were few and far between. He more followed his passion and did videos on what he liked and what interested him. And I, you know, like I said, I thought since he had people who worked for perfume companies and things like that on his blog, on his channel, that he must have gotten paid decently. But no, he was still working as a shoe salesman. They mentioned he was living paycheck to paycheck. He lived in Brooklyn and just loved fragrance. Like, he just, it was a hobby and it was a passion of his. And so it kind of goes over his career, his YouTube career. He was getting ready to launch his own line in collaboration with one of his friends Stephen Gavrilatos. Stephen, if you listen to this, I'm sorry, I butchered your name. It happens on this podcast. I don't mean it. It's just, it's a rite of passage, man. If I don't butcher your name, then, you know, something's wrong. But they were working on a fragrance line together, which did end up launching. I don't know if it launched on the March 29th, which was Brooklyn Fragrance Lover. I mean, his name was Carlos Powell, his birthday, or if it launched on the 21st. No, it said it's scheduled to come out today, actually, on the 21st. But March 19th was just a few days ago. So it's kind of in that same, you know, same time frame. Their company is called Red Brook, and I don't know what it's called. Hang on. I know this is terrible. Oh, it's called the debut scent is called the Underground Edition after the 2-hour commute between Gavrilatos and Powell's homes. Because they did a lot of collaboration videos together. Stephen Gavrilatos has his own YouTube channel, I think called Redolescence. I'll link it in the show notes. But they did go ahead. I guess he went ahead and launched it and moved forward with that. The first run, they made about 1,000 bottles, and it sold out via pre-order, which is kind of nice and encouraging. So I hope that, you know, I hope that this line continues to grow, and that, that Stephen Gavrilatos, who also, his YouTube channel is his hobby. He's a 10th grade, I think, English teacher. So, and it shouldn't impress me or shouldn't amaze me that these people have day jobs, because, you know, I have a day job. I wish this was my full-time job, but I don't make any money from this. Well, not anymore, because Anchor needs to send me new sponsorships. But even when I was, it wasn't a lot. Like, this podcast launched in 2018, and before my sponsorship ended, I made a total of like $89, which isn't bad, but, you know, $89 over a 2-year period, you know, it's not like I'm going to quit my day job anytime soon. But I guess I just assumed, since Brooklyn Fragrance Lover, and I'm assuming Stephen Galvados probably has a nice subscriber account too, I just assumed that their YouTube channels were at the level where they could quit their day jobs, but it wasn't. So it's kind of encouraging too for me, because it's like, I don't know why I find this weirdly encouraging, but I guess not everybody hits it big where they can do this full time. Like, it is a hobby for a reason. And while the dream would be to do this full time, I don't know, like, I don't know why I find it encouraging, because it's not. Because basically my takeaway is, not everybody hits it big, and this could just be a fun side project for the rest of your life. And I think I would be happy with that. But I don't know. It's just nice to see other people who are juggling full-time jobs and also a hobby, a growing hobby, but also a hobby in their spare time that they like, and that, you know, their channels have grown and they are launching brands. It's just kind of cool that you can, that's happening. I don't know. I'm not making myself very clear. I'll stop. But it's just really, really a really sweet kind of tribute to him. And it's very interesting, because I didn't know much about Brooklyn Fragrance Lover outside of just the few YouTube videos that I watched. But I highly encourage you to give this a read. It was really cool. They go into his vlog that was nominated for the, the Fragrance Foundation Awards, and, you know, his style of YouTube video, Redolescence. That's Gavrilatos' YouTube channel. And he has 150,000 subscribers. So they both have had a pretty good chunk of subscribers. So it just amazes me that they still had day jobs, which just goes to show you never know. I mean, like I said, hitting it big and being able to quit your job if you're, you know, have a family to support, or maybe if you live in New York City, isn't always possible. But they collabed a lot together. He has other collaborators that kind of gave quotes for this article. It's just sweet. it's a sweet tribute. I don't know who wrote this, if they're a fragrance lover, if they watched his videos, if they knew him. I don't know how it got into the New York Times. I don't know if he's been covered before, but it's worth a read. It's worth a read, especially if you did watch his videos a lot, then it might be something you would be interested in. Okay. So the next one is a dupe for Tom Ford's Lost Cherry. I don't know what it is, but I feel like Lost Cherry has gotten some hype lately, and it's been out for a few years. Let's see. It came out in 2018. So it's not new, but I feel like it's getting like another surge of popularity, especially on YouTube. A lot of people are reviewing it. I know Bougie Fragrance, she's put me onto the company, the cosmetics company, which can be found at outlet malls. I have not yet been in it, but they sell like name brand perfumes and name brand makeups at good prices. And she found a really good deal on the 100-milliliter bottle of Tom Ford's Lost Cherry. I think she got hers for $200, which is pricey, but when you compare it to retail, which is $350. I mean, she did get $150 savings. And it's legit because I looked into it because I was like, how are they selling Tom Ford's for that cheap? But it's owned by Estee Lauder. So you're getting good quality products. But, you know, she's been talking about it. There's been some other fragrance reviewers that's been talking about it too. Like it's gotten a resurgence. So, and I think it's a great fragrance. Now, I myself own a dupe. I don't own the actual fragrance, A, because it's too expensive for me right now, and B, I liked it, but it didn't last. It doesn't have like the best staying power. That was my biggest gripe with it. Beautiful scent, doesn't have any staying power. And so the dupe I got, which was from Dua Fragrances, and it's called Pop Cherry. That one's beast mode. They basically turned Lost Cherry and made it beast mode, and it lasts like all day long. And there's differences in the opening. I do think the Lost Cherry is a little bit smoother overall, but once it dries down, because I did a side-by-side comparison, and actually it was a part of a Fragrance Showdown episode of this podcast way back in 2018, so look through that. But when I did a side-by-side comparison on the dry down, I couldn't distinguish between the two. So this article from stylecaster.com mentions another dupe for Lost Cherry, and this is from Alexandria Fragrances called Fructus Virginius. So they say that the top notes are almost identical to Tom Ford's. It's got black cherry, bitter almond, and cherry liqueur. This author says that she estimates it's about 90% similar to Lost Cherry, and it smells luxe just like the original. So it comes in a 1 ounce size, which is $42.99 instead of $62.99. So I guess it comes in a 1 ounce and then it comes in a 1.8 ounce. The 1.8 ounce is $62.99. The 1 ounce is $42.99. I've also heard that Alexandria Fragrances has a dupe of Black Phantom 2. I have never tried anything from this house, but I want to because I liked Black Phantom. Again, it's kind of like Shea and Blue Salt Caramel. I liked it. I don't know if it was a love, but I would be interested to sample the Alexandria Fragrances version and maybe get it in the future if it's a good price. And once I use up some of my other other fragrances. But yeah, I definitely don't like it enough to pay the By Kilian price, even though I love the House of Kilian. And as we all know, he is my fragrance husband. I just saw, you know, I liked it, but it's not enough to me to shell out $250. But I would consider the Alexandria Fragrances version if the sample smells just as good as the original. But anyway, if you like Lost Cherry or you sampled it, but you're like, there's no way I can afford $350 on scented water, and, you know, definitely check this out. I would also check out Dua Fragrances, Pop Cherry. And I don't know. Fragrinza is another dupe house that I've heard of, but I haven't experienced it for myself, but I know like Emmy Ever After, she did a review of their Baccarat Rouge dupe and she really likes it. And I think she said it was pretty similar. Excuse me. Rebecca Collazo did one on their version of, I think it was Miss Dior Cherie. I guess you can't find that anymore. And she got their inspired fragrance and she immediately knew it was a dupe of Miss Dior Cherie. Like, it sounds like it's pretty spot on. So that might be another one to check out. Let's see. Fragranza. Okay. I cannot type and talk at the same time. Fragranza. Okay. So, let's see if they have a lost cherry dupe on Fragranza. They have a nude satin mood dupe that I want to get the sample first cuz they do sell samples. Ooh, but if it smells like oud satin mood is somewhat as a fragrance that I would consider paying full price for. I just can't justify it right now. Like maybe in a few years, it's a treat yourself. You know, I don't know. Maybe I get divorced. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I love my husband. I'm very happily married. But you know, it's a fragrance that I would buy at a major life event. You know, if I were getting married, somehow justify that. If you're getting divorced and you want to treat yourself, you know, getting a promotion at work, if it's a Thursday, no, I'm kidding. But anyway, like my husband would probably roll over if I paid that much money right now because, you know, we're trying to save and be adults, blah, blah, blah. But in the meantime, since I cannot afford the full price right now, I definitely am interested in sampling their inspired version because I've heard it was really good. Now, ooh, yes, they do. It's called Amarena Cherry. Now it is, let's see, 60 milliliters is going to run you $62.99. And they have a 5 milliliter, which is $9.99. And so their top notes are black cherry, cherry liqueur, and bitter almond. Middle notes are griot syrup, Turkish rose, and jasmine sambac. Base notes are Peru balsam, roasted tonka bean, sandalwood, vetiver, and cedar. Let's see what the lost cherry notes are. All right. So the lost cherry notes are black cherry, cherry liqueur, and bitter almond. Middle notes are griot syrup, Turkish rose, jasmine sambac. Bottom notes, Peru balsam, roasted tonka bean, sandalwood, vetiver, cedar. So they have identical fragrance notes. Now, granted, Fragrance is probably more synthetic and cheaper than the Lost Cherry perfume, but how different can they smell for real? And this one is, you know, $62.99 for a full bottle, whereas, you know, $350, not everybody can afford that. So someone says it was safe to buy blind. It's got good reviews. Let's just see what, let me click through to the Alexandria fragrance. Let's see. Thank God that clicked open a new tab. It's loading. Let's see. Nope. I clicked on the link to the Tom Ford. Okay. Wah, wah. Let's see. This is Alexandria fragrance. Okay. So they linked to Amazon. Okay. We're going to go Alexandria fragrances, lost chair, Fructus Virginis. I have bought perfumes from Amazon before, but with everything, you just got to be really careful because Amazon likes to fool us and likes to sell those fake products. Okay. I don't know why this article just didn't click through to the actual page for Alexandria fragrances. But yeah, so the notes for them are black cherry, bitter almond, cherry liqueur, griot syrup, tonka bean, Peru balsam, cedar, sandalwood, Turkish rose, vetiver, and jasmine sambac. And 55 milliliters is going to run you $62.99. So pretty much identical price, identical notes. Smell Likes have upped their game. For real. Like, I remember, and you know, you can still get these, but like going into like Walmart or Kmart and you would get the smell like of CK1 or Calvin Klein Eternity. It was always colognes of like popular, but still super affordable designer perfumes. And I feel like those had like a cheaper stigma attached with them. Like, it's like, oh, you're wearing a smell alike. Like, what are you? What are you, poor? But I think some of these higher end dupe companies are like, I am not a hater of clone houses. I think that they are a wonderful way to bring super luxury, high end fragrances to the masses. Because I will admit, it's hard once you get into like the hundreds of dollars, it's hard to justify buying a perfume for me, regardless of whether I can afford it or not. My most expensive perfume, and I got it off of a discounter site, so I didn't even pay full price, but it was still pricey, was my Penhaligon's Changing Constants. That was $145. The regular one is $278, and I don't know, like, I love that fragrance. I don't think I would rebuy it at a full price. I might even get a clone next time if they make a clone ones, because the Penhaligon fragrance is beautiful, but doesn't last very long. And at the time I didn't care, and I still don't, but it's, you know, if I can find something that's comparable, that, and I've heard good things about Fragrinza, I've heard good things about Alexandria. My experience with duo fragrances, still good. So if you can find something that's more affordable, that smells the exact same, why not? You know, let me, and you know what, I'm just going to bring up duo fragrances, Pop Cherry. And I'm going to provide links in the show notes to all of those, to Alexandria, to Fragrinza, and to Duo Fragrances. And you guys can look and see for yourself. I think Duo is $65 for a, I think it's a 30 milliliter. So probably more expensive per milliliter, excuse me, than the other two, but they also have sales throughout the year. And I think you can get like 30% off. So that's something you can wait around for a sale if you like it. If I can find, because it's a different, you can buy samples of Duo fragrances. It's a different site though, but I wrote to them and they told me where I could get it. I'm going to find that, not record it, obviously, and link to that in the show notes too, because there is a way to find samples of Duo fragrances. But there you go. You've got three great options for Lost Cherry. And if you have experience with any of them, let me know. I'm very happy with the Pop Cherry from Duo. It's a great scent. I think after I'm done, because a little bit goes a long way with that, I probably am not going to repurchase, because Lost Cherry is beautiful, but it's one of those fragrances where I have it for a time, in this case, a smell like. I have it for a time in my collection, and then once it's done, it's done. I can move on. But it's nice to know if I did want to repurchase, I have options. So that turned into a long ramble and look up. Sorry about that, but it happens. So the final article is from usmagazine.com, and KKW Fragrances is partnering with Kendall Jenner to come up with a series of three perfume that are inspired by horseback riding and nature. And according to Kendall, it's going to make you smell like a nature fairy princess. Let's see. They have... So the bottles themselves are very understated. Because if you are familiar with KKW fragrances, their packaging is a little ostentatious. Cute, but a little ostentatious. You had the crystals line, which they were in the shape of crystals. You had the Sweethearts line, which were in the shape of like the little candy hearts. I think the collab with Kylie was in the shape of like the lips, because, you know, she has the Kylie lip kits. This one, they look like non-gimmicky perfume bottles. They're round, they got clear tops, and each one's a different color. So you have Amber, which has an orange hue, and, oh man, I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Oh, Lordy. Amber has notes of bergamot, white rose, and tonka bean. Olive has notes of rose, jasmine, and patchouli. And then blue roan has white peach, pear blossoms, and vanilla. And they are all, the amber is orange, olive is olive green, and the blue roan is blue. They're $40 each, but you can get a bundle for $110. And I mean, $40 each, that's very affordable for perfume. It'll be interesting to see what they smell like. I'm sure Ulta will probably pick them up and you can probably test them in store at some point. But if you are a fan of KKW fragrances, then there you go. And I'm not a big fan of the Kardashians, but I will say that the fragrances that I have sniffed from like KKW and the ones that had like the bust of the body that look very similar to Jean-Paul Gaultier's bottles, they all smell pretty good. Like they're pretty clean, floral, nothing incredibly unique, but very crowd pleasing. I can see them being like mass good dumb reaches. Not that there's anything wrong with that either. But if you are a fan of KKW fragrances, though, when are they supposed to launch? March 25th. So coming up. So let me know if you have pre-ordered these or if you're planning to check them out. And I might go to Ulta and sample them myself. So there you have it. That is this week's lineup of Fragrance in the News. Let me know what you think. And just like that, I am stuffed up from sneezing, and we are at the end of this week's episode. As always, thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate every listener. You guys are awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you for sticking by me this whole time. If you're new, thank you. I hope I did not scare you off too much with my content or my voice. My friend Jenna sent me a meme the other day that says, after hearing my voice on a recording, I want to apologize for everybody I've ever talked to. And I know we're our own harshest critics, but I feel like that sometimes. So thank you for putting up with myself and my voice. And yeah, if you want to like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, maybe leave a 5-star review. I'm not going to say no. That will just help more people know about this podcast, help us grow a little bit. If you want to connect with me online, you can do so on Instagram. I'm at Pino and Perfume. I am on Peloton, hashtag Pino and Perfume. That's just if you want to be workout buddies. Obviously, you can't post like content or anything on Peloton. And if you want to email the show, it's pinoandperfumepodcast@gmail.com. With that, I'll bid you guys adieu, and I hope that whatever you're doing, you are having fun, you are being safe, but most importantly, you are smelling good. Bye! Pino and Perfume is hosted and produced by yours truly, Sarah Chacon. Theme music is Around the Bend by Evan Schaefer.